The Lord is good. Now, before we sit, can you declare that to somebody? Say, I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom. One, two, let's go. I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All right. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
So once again, I declare with you, the understanding has come to you today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Clarity, direction. Receive it this evening in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The book of Jeremiah chapter 23 is where we're going to start from today. I have a suspicion I may have a title for what I want to talk about, but let me not give you the title yet until we have brought the point out. We have been looking at the pursuit of God, and I'm happy that we are making good progress in reestablishing what is important in life as children of God. We are leaving behind the things that have to do with childhood, in which God is about solving my problems, in which faith is about acquiring something that I did not have before. We are leaving those things behind. They are the things of childhood. You know, that is why some people pull a lot of crowd, even though they are deceiving people. Who is the real man of God? Listen, if you want to know who to follow, don't follow anybody for the miracles he or she is performing. Follow them for the word of truth that is emanating out of their mouths. That when they open their mouths, Christ is revealed. If you don't have that, please go back home. You are not following a true person. Please, I hope you are getting my point here. What I'm always saying, we are refocusing again on what matters. That's what we are saying. And we're talking about pursuing God, realizing that everything on the earth is temporal. I told one of our brothers, they found him in a particular program. Say, what are you looking for here? He said, look, that success we are teaching in my church is good, though, but we have succeeded. Let's come and look for Jesus. That in my life, I'm tired of looking for success. How long will I live looking for success? Let me look for something that is eternal. He said, I've come to look for Jesus. That I've come to look for Jesus. Many people are still going to church looking for success. You know what Jesus said? They came to Him. Let me tell you something, eh? It is not today that people started following Jesus for what they will get.
Yes.
And it's still happening today. You see men pack their families, everything, and travel. We are going to camp. The camp can be 10 hours away. And you think they love the Lord. You see people travel, take leave, and leave what they are doing and travel somewhere. What were they looking for? These people came to look for Jesus also. And when he saw them, he said, Master, when did you get here? He didn't even answer them. He said, you are not looking for me for any other thing than the fact that when you contact me, you get free food. That this free food is what you came looking for. Financial breakthrough is what you came looking for. Are you getting my point? Open doors is what you came looking for. How to sow your seed and have it multiplied so that you too can become a millionaire is what you are looking for. And he shook his head. He said, don't labor for the food that perishes. He wasn't talking about those who went to work. He was talking to those who came to him. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm going to say here. The people he was rebuking did not go to the office. The people he was rebuking came to him. And he was asking them, why are you coming to me? And he said, look, let me tell you why you're coming to me. It is because of the free food. It's because of breakthrough that I give. It is because of the free bread that you ate the other day. He said, don't do that. Don't labor for the food that perishes. Let me say it again. If a Christian gives money so that God can multiply in it, he's giving for the food that perishes. If a Christian says, look, I'm going to stay all night so that God can give me promotion in the office, he's laboring for the food that perishes. In recent times, it has struck me that Jesus is saying, I don't want those things to ever be a focus. Don't pray about them. Don't study the scripture for them. Don't do anything for them. Because the people he was rebuking, they came to him. They did not go to the Pharisees. They came to him. They did not go to Herod. They came to him. They did not go to their offices. They left everything they had to do to come to him. Yet he looked at them. He said, you are laboring for the food that perishes. That's why we're talking about the pursuit of God. He said, labor for the one that endures to eternal life. So ask yourself, I've stayed up all night to achieve what? If what I stayed up all night to achieve would not endure to eternal life, it was a waste of time. I don't know whether I'm getting my point here. I'm saying to us, therefore, let's learn what Jesus was saying. Let's make the knowledge, and that's it. He said that you will give them eternal life. He said this is eternal life, that they will know you, the only true God, and Jesus, whom you have sent. He said that is eternal life. That is the only thing that's worth laboring for. I know what I found out, like I said the other day. He said if you labor for that, all other things will be added to you. That's what he said. Many blessings we're asking for. God said, there are not things I should be giving you because you are laboring like this. There are things that you should attract because divinity is inside you. Are you getting my point here? So there are things you just attract. There are things you should attract. There are things that just by virtue of your presence, you will just attract. So it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, don't pray the way the Gentiles pray. How do Gentiles pray? Father, we will increase financially. Let's begin to pray financially, in the name of Jesus. Money, come. Jesus just shakes his head. He said, that's a gentilic prayer. Don't mind, you know, I always manufacture English to make my messages clear. That's a Gentile prayer. Even though you are putting my name to it, it does not make it Christian prayer. It is still a Gentile prayer. If you check scripture, prayer for needs for Christians are supposed to be dismissive. What I mean is dismissive. Yes, something is on your heart, you take it and hand it over to God. Lord, hold it. I don't want it on my heart. There are prayers I refuse to pray in ministry. That is when I want to pray it. I said, Lord, I can't. Let me give you an example. You know, if you're a man of God, you want to do program, you want the place to people to come, you hire a hall, you want it to fill up. I've prayed that prayer before, but many years ago, not in recent times. I don't pray it. You know why? I have found that if you ask for it, God can give it to you. But what are you really asking for? This issue of counting numbers, I don't know how to do it. If we are going to, like now, we'll go to do a program in Port Harcourt quarterly. We pray for the program. But if I'm the one leading prayer, I'll watch it. The words that I use are things like this. Lord, you have sent your word by us to Port Harcourt. Let everybody that your spirit is calling, let them come. There are people there that need this word. Somebody needs breakthrough as a result of this word. Somebody needs deliverance as a result of this word. We ask that person, let your spirit activate coming for the person. That's how I pray. I will not derive pleasure, you know. The flesh will. Let me just say, the flesh will. You know, you fight the flesh. That yes, we got a hall that sees 5,000 people. And it will fill to the brim. Praise God. People can use manipulation to bring people into that place. Yes. So you say, what is the prayer we're supposed to pray? The prayer is that, Lord, this word, it will come out freely. When the name of Jesus is mentioned, like the disciples prayed, signs and wonders will be done. Lord, understanding will come to people. The blind will receive direction by the entrance of your word. Let nothing hinder the free flow of your word. We pray about that one. But as for things that look like satisfy the flesh, make you feel good, that yes, you are now a big man, you can draw crowd. Believe me, I'm not saying that my flesh doesn't want to do it. Though. I did tell my flesh, yeah, I will not agree. When I finish praying that prayer, I leave it there. It's a deliberate thing, I leave it there. Why? Because the Lord said, labor for the food that endures to eternal life. I don't need to tell you, we don't pray about offering. God, let the offering people will give you plenty. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. Now, what I'm saying is that we just ignore the things of the flesh. We labor for the thing that endures to eternal life. Now, you have that kind of attitude. You know what Jesus said? All other things will be added to you. All other things will be added to you if you have that kind of attitude. Let us stop making physical things that plead to the flesh. Let's stop making them the focus of our prayer. What Jesus taught us that those prayers must be dismissive. When Paul talked about it in Philippians chapter 4, he said, let them be made known unto God. Then the peace, that's the interesting part. He did not even say, when Paul was explaining it, he didn't say God will give it to you, even though it implied. But he said that what does God give you as a result? The peace of God that passes all understanding. What does that peace do for you? It removes that pressure on your soul that if I don't achieve this by December, it means I have failed. It removes that pressure. Many things we are reaching for and grabbing onto. God said, until you can smile and be happy without it, I won't give you. Because if I give it to you, your joy will be locked on that thing. Your joy will be locked on it. You won't want any other thing to happen in your life again. That will be the source of your joy. I want your joy to be in me and in me alone. Every other thing must be what? An addition. Please, I hope you are following my point here. That is true Christianity we are talking about. This is not time, look, we are no longer focusing on testimony of how I gave 1,000 naira and I got 1,000,000. And then the Lord now said to me, so that 1,000,000, I gave that 1,000,000 and I got 500,000,000. Today now I'm a man operating at the level of 500,000,000. Who is so like me today? You give that kind of testimony in my presence, one of two things. I either believe that you are telling lies or you are very childish. That's all. I will not think if it's a serious thing. If God did it for you, fine. If God did it, honestly, fine. But most of the times, I believe you're not telling the truth. Because I know the way God operates. He doesn't operate like that. He doesn't want us to be running after, you know, big money must not be the motivation for those who are hearing the preaching of the word of God. Please, I hope you're getting my point here. That's what we're trying to say here. Now, we're saying what is the important thing is the knowledge of God. Is being rightfully related with him. And Enoch walked with God. And God liked him so much, the Lord was so fond of him, that one day he disappeared. Why? The Lord relocated him from the earth, without death, to heaven. What happened? God was fond of Enoch. And I want to continue on that particular light today. That's why I said, read that Jeremiah chapter 23. So open to the book of Jeremiah chapter 23, let's continue from that point. You will see something, I want to explain some things today, which I believe they are quite profound. As I was meditating, I said, dear Lord, help me to deliver this thing easily. The book of Jeremiah chapter 23. Let me start reading from verse... let's read from verse 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who are prophesying to you. They are leading you into futility. They speak a vision of their own imagination, not from the mouth of the Lord. I'm in verse 17 now. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord has said you will have peace. And as for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say calamity will not come upon you. Now listen to verse 18, which is why I'm reading this. But who has stood in the counsel of the Lord, that he should see and hear his word? Now, look at verse 19. Now, verse 18 says, who has given heed to his word and listened? Behold, the storm of the Lord has gone forth in wrath, even a whirling tempest. It will swell upon the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has performed and carried out the purposes of his heart. In the last days, you will clearly understand it. Now, notice verse 21. I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, please follow this, then they would have announced my words to my people and would have turned them back from their evil way. Now notice this. They would have announced my words to my people. And by that announcement, they would have turned them back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. Now, let me just stop reading here. Now, please, that's what I want to read. I read from verse 16 to verse 22. Now, the key words I want from there are the word prophets, prophesying, and the counsel of the Lord, which we find in verse 18, and which he repeated again in verse 22. That is, God has what he called his counsel. Now, please, I want to read that from God's Word Translation, because there is an expression there that God's Word Translation uses. There's a way it expresses it that's so profound. Please, let me just quickly switch over there and read it. God's Word Translation,
Let me read from verse 17. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says everything will go well for you. They tell all who live by their own stubborn ways, nothing bad will happen to you. Now notice verse 18. Who is in the Lord's inner circle and sees and hears his word? Who pays attention and listens to his word? Notice that. I'm bringing that one because of that expression, the Lord's inner circle. When he talked about God's counsel, he was talking here, God's word translation used the expression, the Lord has an inner circle. And that is the place from where prophets arise. Prophets don't just get up and go and speak. They must first be people that have been called into the Lord's inner circle. I'm going somewhere with all of this. That's verse 22. If they had been in my inner circle, they would have announced my words to my people. Now, what am I saying here? Jeremiah was explaining to them. The Lord was speaking to Jeremiah that what people need to be, all right, where they need to be is in the Lord's inner circle. My message today is about that Lord's inner circle. That is, it is from there that things are controlled on the earth. Now, please, just pause. Take a pause there, all right? You remember that I've stopped somewhere. We'll come back to it in a moment. Quickly open your Bible to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I want to pick up some speed now. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, he says something here. By faith, we know it, so don't bother opening to it. I think I'll just recite it off head. He said, by faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that the things that we see did not come out of the things that are visible. Now, please follow that. That is, by faith, we understand. Now, when he was talking about the words, he was not talking about earth, Venus, you know, sun, moon, and all of that. That's the earth. Now, physical things. But when he was talking about the world, he was talking about the events happening on the earth. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, that the epochs were framed by the word of God, that governments were framed by the word of God, that the structure of society, all right, was framed by the word of God. He said, by faith, we understand. So that the things that we see do not come out of things that are visible. What am I going to say? You see, here people say, now, I keep on using, God help me, I don't know how I'm going to solve it, but I keep on using our country as an example, because I keep in touch with things that are going on. Now, people will tell you, they will settle down like this and tell you, this is the reason why America is great, this is what Nigeria needs to do to become great. The other day, I was watching Ben Murray Bruce, and he was analyzing the things wrong with the aviation sector. And the man said, I wish I had not come into government. He said, now that I'm in government, he's a senator. He said, I see things and I almost go crazy. That why will a man do this? He explained how Nigerians, that President Obasanjo, said I was there when he told me to place a call, all right, through to Richard Branson. And they called Richard Branson and invited him to come and invest in Virgin Nigeria. What became Virgin Nigeria? You understand? And he said that why did the thing collapse? That Obasanjo promised that man a particular, you know, spot in MM1 from where he would do local flight and international flight. That somebody came up one day and decided that, no, we are moving it to MM2, all right? And the man got angry and left. Now, why did the man get angry? It was not because you now put him at a disadvantage, but because we had an agreement, you are breaking the agreement without compunction. There was a time when Obasanjo first came into power, all right? I remember my mother-in-law is a very active member of NASIMA, and they went for meetings with investors that will come from abroad and all of that. And they said something, she reported something to us that one of them said, that when they were talking about power, you know, security and all of those things. Same one white man said, look, forget power. We can bring our power. That power is not our problem. And you saw MTN do it. You saw Econet do it. These guys brought their power. Their power is not our problem. They said the reason, number one reason we don't invest in your country is that if somebody breaches a contract, where do we go? And you saw what happened with Econet. They breached contract with Econet. It took them 10 years to get judgment from London. Not from Nigeria. I was watching Ben Murray Bruce talk about different things. He said, now that I'm in government, it is frustrating that FAN will tax the airlines to death. Those were his words. That Nigerian airlines are taxed to death. That when internationally people pay 10%, they pay 30%. He said, there is no way on earth they will survive. And that's why they never survive. He said, being in government now is painful to my soul because I see things I otherwise would not have seen. And according to him, why is he like that? And that's why I'm talking about it. That's my own message. I'm not here to preach, you go angry, I'm getting angry with government. Why was it frustrating him? That if you've been following our teaching on Ecclesiastes, you know that what Solomon was saying, that life can be frustrating. That was exactly what Solomon was saying. That life can be frustrating. That was what people looked at and said, better is the dead than the living. And better than both of them is the one who has never lived to see this amount of injustice. Solomon was not saying life was bad for everybody. He was saying when you see injustice, you will declare also that better is the dead than the living. Like I said the other time, that's why suicide bombers find it easy to blow themselves up, because they feel that the world as it is unjust. And they say without uttering the words, that better is the dead than the living. And better than both of them is the one who has never lived to see all this nonsense. We're looking at the Ecclesiastes, that life can be frustrating. But when he was talking, I kept on laughing. See, he was trying to say, if we can structure this like this, the country will be better. And I felt like saying, Oga, you know, people like you don't believe in God or faith the way we do. But what you don't realize, what you are asking for, if you like, get angry from now till tomorrow. Get angry from now till tomorrow. Only God can do it. Some people said, one man was you know, a lot of things fly around social media. Now Nigerians like to pray. And when you finish praying, you know, you won't do what you're supposed to do. When I finished replying, I said, I don't believe they say it was a professor that wrote it. I said, a professor can't be this stupid to write this. Because this is total idiocy. It shows you don't know life. Because even Apple, what's his name? Steve Jobs says something. He said, you can never connect the dots going forward. That you can only connect the dots looking backwards. He said, therefore in life, you have to believe in something. Call it luck. Call it karma. Call it this. He said, but you just have to believe in something. Because there is no way on earth you can plot this outcome of things ahead. It's only when they have walked, you will look back and say, how did I get here? You will now plot the dots. So he said, when you are moving in life, say, just believe that things will work. He said, call it karma. Call it whatever it is you want to call it. He said, but just believe in something that is beyond you. That's Steve Jobs. That's what he said. These are men who have materially succeeded. And they are telling you, forget this thing. Anything we write in a book is hindsight. Now, you see, what am I talking about? I'm talking about faith. By faith, we understand. I felt like telling Ben Bruce, their brother Bruce, this is what faith is about. By faith, we understand that it is not that men knew how to arrange that they became great. It was that God decreed greatness upon them. And that greatness in manifesting arranged things for them. Look, because it gets to a point in life, why God would just say, henceforth, you can never breach contracts. And when he releases that word, it will go into the country that men can't breach contracts in this country anymore. Suddenly, one Supreme Court justice will be appointed. Nigeria Judicial Council will make some decisions. We have an attorney general that for a period of 8 years, they'll just be focused on enforcing agreements. It becomes a culture in the society. People will now say that it was when we were able to do this that we moved forward. But they won't understand it was when the time to move forward came that we're able to do it. It's the other way around. I'm trying to explain the meaning of that Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 to you. When it says, by faith, we understand that the words were framed by the word of God. It is words that frame things. Things don't come out of the things that are visible. That is what I'm trying to say in all of these things. Things don't come out of the things that are visible. So that if you say America is a great nation in the world today, listen to me. One of the things that the book of Daniel will do for you, if you read the book of Daniel, Daniel was so accurate. Look, that statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw, the head of gold, there's something that I understood last week. I don't want to distract, you know, by talking about it now. You know, it's in my body. I must say it. Are you getting my voice? So I can have some vent. You know, there's this mental image you have. I see the world has been progressing over the years. So this is the most technologically advanced years we have had because we have been moving forward all the time. But it's not true. Now, I don't know how technologically advanced they were, but the world went down for a long time. When Nebuchadnezzar was in power, the world was better technologically advanced. They were more comfortable than when the Romans were in power centuries later. Why? He was the head of gold. I don't know whether I get my point. He was the head of gold. He had technology. The type that Romans did not know about. Now, let me get back to my main message. What I'm going to say is this. You will see, Daniel will tell you that I beheld in a vision. I saw a goat. Are you getting my point? And he had a single horn. And then I saw a ram. He had one horn and a smaller horn. You know, you keep on describing things to you that he saw. And the angel will come to him and say, do you understand that? Daniel said, no, I didn't understand. He said, a king will arise from the south. Another king will arise. He will describe events that will not take place for the next 200 years, 500 years, 1,000 years. I don't know whether you follow my point. Yes. Nebuchadnezzar said, Daniel interpreted to him, you, O Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. After you, he said, a kingdom will arise that will not have glory as much as you. And then another kingdom will arise. Then finally you see a kingdom that is very strong. Then they will be brittle. And he's describing things that will happen centuries later. And when they will begin to happen, events will take place to play out what Daniel already decided. But something you should know is there, is that they will tell you that, for example, this is the decree of the watchers. When Nebuchadnezzar was going to be judged, this was a decree of the watchers. That is, there are people that watch the events on the earth and they decide what will happen next. Are you getting my point here? God said to Nebuchadnezzar, he opened his mouth and said, this is Babylon the great that built the strength of my mind for the glory of my majesty. And the watchers were angry. So they decreed judgment upon him. Now, this is the point. Remember the judgment. The judgment was that for 7 seasons, you'll be out of power. And Nebuchadnezzar testified that when I returned, more glory was delivered to me. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. That is, for the period that he was out of power, God increased Babylon. And like I say all the time when I'm preaching about that, what was he trying to say by that? What the Lord was trying to say? It wasn't that God ran him mental as the issue. It was that God kept Babylon while he was out of power. And God put him back after his sins came back to him. Of course, the first sense that I returned was, he said, now I praise the God of heaven. When he understood that, that was when God put him back in power. And God gave him more glory than before. To prove one point to him, Nebuchadnezzar understood that Babylon was not built by the strength of my might. Neither was it built for the glory of my majesty. That is, I'm just an actor in what God is doing. So if anybody tells you America is great because some people knew how to plan, just know they don't know anything. Just know they don't know anything. When I found out why America speaks English today, I was surprised. That the day they voted on which country, which language would be their national language, they lost to German by one vote. They would have been speaking Dutch today. You get my point? By one vote, which you know is because one man probably didn't come for the voting. There are men who ruled have testified that whatever is moving this country forward is not us. They've testified. I'm trying to explain that scripture by that the words were framed by the word of God. Daniel will interpret a dream for Nebuchadnezzar on events that will take place 500 years down the line. He will tell you that a king will arise. I mean, the rising, is it the goat or the ram? I think it was the goat that they called him later on. Was this man, what is his name? Alexander the Great. This guy in a few years conquered the whole world. And when he died, he was 33 or 30 something, young boy. Having conquered the whole world, but the ability to conquer the whole world was prophesied hundreds of years ahead. That he will arise and he will charge to the left, he will charge to the right, he will charge to the back, to the front, and nobody will be able to stop him. Exactly what happened. One day I heard David Paulson analyze something that happened. A prophecy that was given concerning Tyre, one of those cities. That the Lord said that there will be not, that everything will be removed from there. That the place will become a place where, what do you call it? Not jackals now. Fishermen hang their nets. And this was a city that was thriving. That somebody tell you that Lagos will be a place where people will be hanging their nets. He said the day the prophecy was going to be fulfilled, you know what happened? Hundreds of years later, Alexander the Great came, attacked that area. And the men had this thing. They had an island just off their shore. So that when armies come to invade, they run into boats and flee to the next island. And Alexander the Great did not have a navy. Are you getting my point? He didn't have a navy, so he could only do land warfare. I don't need to tell you he didn't have aircraft. Do I need to tell you that? So he had to fight. It was only infantry and stuff like that. So now his enemies have moved and crossed off the waters, off the shore, to an island from where they could see the people on the other end. So they had, and that's how he was. He didn't used to take nonsense. What do we do? He looked. He said, we'll go and meet them. They said, there's no way. I mean, we can't get enough boats to move across. He said, build a ramp. How do we build a ramp from here to there? He said, find anything in sight and build a ramp. I'm going to meet them on that island. What was the thing they found? Every building in that city, they broke it down and carried the blocks and threw it into the water. By the time they were done, there was no building standing. His soldiers had broken every building and carried the bricks and flung them into the water. And a prophet, I don't have the prophecy now, I prophesied that that city will be removed from where it is and thrown into the water. When God was going to fulfill it, he made Alexander the Great angry. And the young conqueror looked and said, you guys are hanging a few kilometers off the shore, laughing at me. I will show you what I am. He told his men, build me a ramp. Where do we get things to build ramp from? He said, are these not buildings? What are they doing standing? The guy spent days, weeks, breaking buildings down and moving inch by inch into the waters until they went there and killed everybody on the island. Listen to me. It was not the wisdom of Alexander the Great. It was that when the mouth of the Lord commands, his spirit will always go out and go and effect. I felt like telling Ben Murebrew, say, don't worry. You are getting frustrated like Solomon. But when the time to favor, I'm going somewhere. When that time comes, a man will just arise and say, who broke rules in this place? And that's how I'll tell you. Somebody like Strive Masiwa, a praying man, he came to Nigeria and said, I will not bribe anybody. According to his testimony, James Ibori said, I will show you what I'm made of. He said, I will show you who I am too. I won't give you a dime. There were quarrels with Akwa Ibom State governor. That's how they got governor. Another one or two other governors. They should move money. We're talking about millions of dollars. They are finding it safe and stuff like that now. It's not today. Nobody today. Men have been doing that for some time. But Strive said, as a Christian, corruption must end with me. So anytime he's going to do business, he prays. They are coming to Nigeria to bid. Back in Zimbabwe, back in South Africa, his men are joining hands. They are fasting and praying. They are declaring the word of God. And meanwhile, he's sitting down here and negotiating. You cannot get him to give you a dime. The powerful men in Nigeria say, we will show you what we are made of. He said, me? I'm putting my own words now. I will show you that I'm a son from heaven. Do you know they succeeded? Ejected him, his men, his children, their wives out of Nigeria and deported them. That was injustice. Solomon said, this is bad. I felt bad when I saw injustice. He said, but I realized that the day is coming that God will judge evil. This man said, don't worry. He activated that word of Solomon that God will judge evil one day. He filed cases against them. It took him 10 years. When I was reading his blog, he said, listen, that there are laws you don't flout in this world. He mentioned one particular law, I've forgotten it now. He said it was crafted by the Americans and the British. If you break any of their rules, they will find you where they have to find you. And in that process, he's one of the reasons why James went to jail. Listen, and tell people like that, that better be careful when God is moving. I told you that day that Desmond Tutu said something to the clerk that time. He said the time to end apartheid has come. It will end whether you want it or not. See, what I'm just asking you to do is to join what God is doing now. It took that man 10 years, he won his cases. All of them. But he started on one thing. He said, I make up my mind. In Africa, corruption will not thrive. He's the man that said that Christians don't understand how to activate the power of God to do what God wants them to do. That when he needed money, he activated the power of God and raised $1.5 billion to buy Econet out of the public space. He didn't want to be a publicly quoted company anymore. Bought everybody else out with $1.5 billion, which he raised by praying. Listen, what am I going to say here? I'm still trying to emphasize when he said that the words were framed by the word of God. That's what I'm going to emphasize. that the worlds were framed by the word of God. No political party can develop a country, a nation. Every nation has a history that has been crafted by God. And you see something, I said the other time, that many things are written in heaven. There are things written. Listen, this is how Satan writes his things. Satan writes like this. He goes, he said he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, he doesn't have power. All power belongs to God. So what is he? He's an accuser of the brethren. He starts accusing. And from God, he gets judgment. And based on those judgments, he writes the destiny, the doom of every place where he has the opportunity to write it. But God says something. I seek for a man who will stand before me and stand between me and these people so that I will not have to allow. Now, please watch my words now. That's what Satan has demanded. Because you must understand, Satan understands these spiritual principles. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded to sift you all like wheat. Satan is not stupid. He doesn't come to God to demand what he doesn't have right to. And that is why God raises intercessors. That is why he raises intercessors who will speak in court against Satan, bringing new arguments that he doesn't have. For example, Satan will know, he may know that God can forgive, but he won't come to court and say, God, you are a merciful God. But the intercessor will come, like Moses. You told me your name is the merciful God. The merciful God. Are you getting my point here? That's what he does. So Jesus said to Peter, I have prayed for you. Now, this is the point. Please follow me. All that Jesus could do at that time, the amount, the dose of energy available could only save one person, Peter. So he said to him, this is literal Greek. Satan has desired to sift you all, or demanded actually to sift you all like wheat. But I have prayed for you, Peter. That's literal Greek. If you go and read, it's only King James has it well captured, because you, ye, is different. Satan has desired to sift you all like wheat. But I've prayed for you, Peter, that your faith will not fail. And then when you have been converted as a result of the prayer that I have prayed, you will turn around now and strengthen your brethren. What am I saying? Like we preached last time, if people don't rise up and say no to the thing that Satan has written that he wants to use to destroy the nations, the destiny of God for that nation will not come to pass. That destiny will not be manifested. Please follow what I'm going to say here. I'm talking about the fact that by faith we understand how things happen. By faith we know that it is not all this OPEC meeting that can show up the value of oil. You will see where I'm going today. I pray I can get there. You will know that certain men can sit in their rooms and say in their prosperity, God, they have insulted you. Therefore, we will break the staff of bread. And God will say to the angels, a decree has been released. Crash the price of oil until it goes for $15 a barrel. Until Nigerians will look at their money, it will not be worth more than the piece of paper next to it. These are things work on this earth. No, listen. The words were prepared by words. I'm going somewhere. You will see when God wants, listen, this is how God does it too. On this earth, he says the Father judges no man, but he has given all judgment to the Son. There's a way, there's what Jesus was talking about there. There's a principle for the running of the affairs of the earth. This is how it works. God says, I want to run the affair of this earth. So he created the heavens and the earth. And I said, how do we effect what we want on the earth? He said, we'll put our representative there. The first son of God that came to the earth, his name was Adam. And what was Adam's job? God put Adam in the garden. He now said, cultivate and do what? And keep it. He told him, name all the animals. This is the interesting part. God didn't tell him what to call the animals. He told him he gave him as a duty, you name the animals. And he told him this, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. He said to him, you should do what? Have dominion. Told him to subdue the earth. The word of God is not advice, it's empowerment. So Adam had the power to do all of this. Adam had the power to do all of this. What does that mean? Adam will walk. And walking with God, he'll be learning divine wisdom. And he will say that this river shouldn't flow this way anymore. It has watered that area enough. I want it redirected this way. Now listen to this. God will come in the cool of the evening and discuss with Adam. And when God shows Adam the best way to get some things, then what are they discussing? God, listen to me. God cannot effect what he wants unless Adam decrees it. And that was why he used to come in the cool of the evening to talk. Adam had power. Listen to me. Adam was God's first prophet. I'm talking about prophets. Remember, we started from inner circle. Adam was in God's inner circle, which meant that he and the Lord talked, and the Lord gave him what to do concerning matters on the earth. He taught him. They interacted. And he said, this is my plan in the heavens. Adam would look at it. Adam would come down to the earth and begin to listen to these words and begin to prophesy. Adam was a prophet. And as the man was walking, Satan said, things will spoil. We have done it before. We have to do it again. I don't want to go into that talk now, but there's a reason why the earth was formless and void. There was a reason. It was formless and void because God poured his wrath upon it and destroyed everything that was there then. Now, Adam, now we are recreating everything. So, let's spoil it again. Satan was saying, how do we get that done? Let's look for this man's weak spot. What was his weak spot? Eve. I don't want to talk in details about what happened there now. But he got Adam. And then, that was where he began to lose his authority. And as a result, years later, that's what I'm going to. As a result, years later, God had to destroy everything again. And raise another prophet. And what God does every time is to raise a prophet. Now listen to me. So he said in Amos, open your Bible to the book of Amos. Please, I hope you are following me.
Yes, sir.
I hope you're following me clearly. Okay. Remember, we're talking about God's inner circle. You see where I'm going, though? Please, I'm sure you're wondering, what's the relevance of all these things that you're saying, this guy? Amos chapter what? I didn't say. You couldn't read my mind. Amos chapter 3, he said he tried. Amos chapter 3. Hear this word which the Lord has spoken against you, sons of Israel, against the entire family which he brought up from the land of Egypt. You only have I chosen among the families of the earth. You see this. Why did he choose them? I don't want to start on that now. Forget all this talk. People are talking about Israel is special, you know, for eternity. Jesus is a Jew. Let me not go there. You only have I chosen of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I have to punish you, he said, for all your iniquities. Do two men walk together unless they have made an appointment? Now, literally, unless they are in agreement. Now, to save my time, I'm just going to continue. He was asking those rhetorical questions. He now got to verse 7. He says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants, the prophets. Are you seeing that? A lion has roared, he said, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? Let me just stop here. Now, why did God raise Israel up? It was to form them into a nation of his prophets. Now, that was why he chose them. It did not start with Israel. You go back, it started with Abraham. Not even before Abraham. But Abraham is the first one we're going to talk about. What I want to note about Abraham is this. If you're going to read Psalm 105, for time's sake, please, we won't read all of these things. But the Bible says that he led them from one nation to the other, and he didn't allow anybody to do them any wrong. How did he do that? He said, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm.